I'm feeling some better, but my voice is a little bit weak. But thank you for being here today, and I hope you'll get something from the message. And it's not a salvation message. I think we could probably preach from 1 Peter for the rest of the year, but we need to move on. And so today I'm going to read a lot of scripture and spread it out a little bit, and it'll be a message for Christians, how that Christians ought to behave, how that Christians ought to behave, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So I'm going to tell you first this morning what's in the last part of chapter number 2. And the Bible says in verse number 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, who is speaking about Jesus Christ, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So that chapter ends up like that. And Jesus Christ died for our sins willingly. He died for our sins without complaining, that we all might have eternal life and live with him forever. And if you're not saved today, God wants you to be saved. Let us pray. Father, we pray to you to help us this morning. May the Spirit of God please come and meet with us. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for bearing our sins. Thank you for taking the lashes on your back, the nails in your hands. Thank you for taking the shame and the suffering and the spitting in our behalf, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and help us, God, today to be built up in the faith just a little bit more, God. Help me to preach this morning, bring to my mind the scriptures and thoughts and illustrations, and bless your people today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Joe, I hear just a tiny bit of an echo there. So we're in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, and be chapter number 2. And last week we had verse number 4. And verse number 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And so we talked about last week that Jesus was disallowed indeed of men. That is, Jesus Christ has been rejected by the majority of the people. So today we're going to take and go a little bit faster, and we're going to read more scripture today and make some comments on those scriptures, on the whole chapter, if possible. I'm going to read the first 10 verses and make some comments on them, and then I'll give you a simple outline for the rest of the chapter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says there, wherefore, laying aside all malice. Now, the word wherefore there, as I've told you before, refers back up to the chapter before. Since we have been saved, since we have been born again, like it says in verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but since we have been born again, there are some things that we ought to do. Did you know that before you get saved, God does not require you to do anything? He only wants you to get saved first. To get saved, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then after you do get saved, God has some things that he wants you to do. A little bit more volume, Brother Joe. So he says in verse number 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings. These things should not be in a Christian life. Malice is doing things for spite, to get even with people. See, that ought not to be in a Christian's life. If anybody has a problem with that, the Bible says lay it aside in all guile. That is to lead people astray, tell little lies and lead people astray, and hypocrisies. That is to try to get people to think you're something that you're not, you see. And then envyings, envying things and wanting what other people have. And the Bible says in all evil speakings. In other words, we ought not to go out of church here today and speak evil of our brothers and sisters. We ought not to do that or speak evil of other people. I'm sure we've all done that, but we ought not to do that. He goes on to say in verse number 2, as newborn babes, just like a newborn babe desires milk, then we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. When people are not interested in the Bible, They're not interested in what God has to say. There's a problem there, see. We are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. I mean, if you have a little child and a lot of your parents and your little baby after 5 years is still in the crib, you see, not able to walk or anything, you think there's something wrong here. The same thing was spiritually, we are to grow as a Christian. That's verse number two. Verse number three, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And verse number four, that we've already covered, to whom coming as unto a living stone, Jesus Christ is compared to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. But you see, when he says disallowed indeed of men, most people set him aside as not being important. They reject Jesus Christ. But he's disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now he goes on here to say, I'm going to read the rest of these verses down through verse number 10 and make a few comments here. Verse number 5, ye also as lively stones. That's us. We are compared to lively stones. That's Christians. We are built up a spiritual house. That spiritual house he's talking about, there is the household of God. It's saved people. It's the body of Christ. So he says in verse number 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now careful what he says here in the last part of verse number 5. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Those spiritual sacrifices, as I said in Sunday school, are praise to God all the time. Turn in your Bibles, hold your place there, and turn back to the left to Hebrews chapter 13. Be just a couple of pages, about 4 or 5 pages. Hebrews chapter 13, and look in verse number 15. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So our job, one of our jobs, the main job as a Christian is this. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. See, the perfect sacrifice for your salvation has already been made on the cross. And it was the body of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. He gave himself a sacrificial offering to pay for your sins. So therefore, your job is to offer up spiritual sacrifices all the time. The Bible says here, continually. That means from daylight until dark. That means 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That means, he says, continually. That means just like waves out on the ocean, they continually go up to the shore day after day, all the time. They never stop. Waves coming up to the shore. That's what you're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be offering up sacrifices unto God from our lips. That is thanksgiving to God. Like I told you in Sunday school, God, thank you. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that probably most of y'all didn't have to walk to church this morning. Thank you that I've got a vehicle to drive. Thank you, God, that I had a warm bed. I mean, man, when I get in the bed at night, every time I just say, God, thank you. I've got an electric blanket, you know. And I want to just get in there and feel good and warm, you see. Thank God that I have an electric blanket. Nothing fancy, nothing real expensive, but it's sufficient, you see. Thank God that we have, you're going to go out and you're probably going to eat today. You know, thank God that you have food. You probably had some breakfast this morning. Don't take these things for granted. You probably got a refrigerator. How'd you like to live when they had no refrigerator, you see? How'd you like to live? You get up of a morning, you don't get to go in the bathroom, you got to go outside. There's a trail out there and there's a wooden shack over there, see? And you go over there and it's cold over there, see? This time of the year, see? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You got this commode here, this gadget with a thing you flush on it, see? All that kind of good stuff, and we take it for granted. The Bible says all the time, continually, day after day, we are to offer up to God sacrifice, the sacrifice of our lips. It's thanksgiving to God, you see? That's one of our failures, is that we fail to offer up sacrifice to God. You forget. You don't have enough to pray about, then just start thanking God for all the things that you have. You have some help. If you get sick, you can go to the doctor. You can go to the hospital. Somebody will take you over there. They've got gas stations. We've got everything that we could possibly want in this land, you see. But yet people are still depressed. What are they depressed about? I can't figure that out. What are they mad about? What are they depressed about, see, when we got everything that we could possibly desire? But people are still not happy. They're committing suicide. They're doing all kinds of things, you see. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why, see. But he says there that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Let's keep going in verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That's Jesus. He's compared there to a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Confounded. That is, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you will never be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed of that decision, if you want to call it a decision. You'll never be sorry that you got saved. Braden, do you know that? You'll never be sorry that you got saved. One of these days you'll stand before Jesus Christ and you'll be glad that you got saved. Verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse number 8, and a stone of stumbling. You see, Jesus Christ can be a stepping stone or he can be a stone of stumbling. For those who do not believe, he becomes a stumbling stone. Verse number 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. They don't believe it, see, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation. This is talking about us Gentiles. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that holy nation there, he's not talking about the United States of America. He's not even talking about Israel. He's talking about a holy nation. It's the body of Christ, you see, Christians. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In verse number 10, which in time past were not a people, that be us, but are now the people of God. That's us, that's Christians, you see, which have not obtained, which had not obtained, but now have obtained mercy. That's verse 1 to 10 there. Now the rest of the chapter is what I want you to notice. It tells a Christian how to behave in this world, and I'm going to give you three things, and here's the three things. Number one, it tells you how to behave in this world, number one, on a personal level. That's verse number 10 and 12. On a personal level, how am I supposed to behave myself? Number two, on a social level in this world, how am I supposed to behave myself as a Christian in this world out here socially among people? On a social level. And number three, on a spiritual level, verse number 21 to 25 down here where Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. So first off, notice, how am I supposed to behave in this world on a personal level? Look at verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. First off, I'm a stranger. If you're saved this morning, whether or not you know it, you're a stranger in this land. A stranger is someone who's in a land where they don't belong. You know that song we sing, "This World Is Not My Home"? You see, don't get too attached to this world. Strangers and then pilgrims is someone who's just passing through. That's a pilgrim. That's a pilgrim. Verse number 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Notice what he says next, that we are to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. To abstain, that means to refrain, to avoid, to don't do those things. The Bible says to abstain from fleshly lust, what the flesh likes to do. Abstain from them because it will war against your soul. It will harm you and hurt you. Turn in your Bibles just a little bit to the right there. Just a couple of pages to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4 says this. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So what he says there is that the whole world has been corrupted by lust. You see, you know what lust is? It's the desire for things, whatever it is, the desire for things. Again, look at verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Turn in your Bibles, please, back to the left. Hold your place in 1 Peter and turn back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. Everybody going to read this carefully? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. In other words, you should stay away from that. You should not do that. Verse number 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. His vessel, that is, his body, in sanctification and in honor. So we are to abstain from what he's talking about here, fornication. He's talking about sex outside of marriage. I'd rather not talk about those things, but it's in the Bible. That's what he's talking about, sex outside of marriage. But see, here's the thing. These kinds of things are promoted all over our country. They're promoted. A Christian is supposed to abstain from those things. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're not to do those kinds of things. Turn in your Bibles just a little bit over to the right. Turn the page to chapter 5 and verse number 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22, it says there, abstain from all appearance of evil. Look, folks, it doesn't even have to be wrong. It says if it looks like it's wrong, then don't do it. If it looks like it's wrong, don't do it. I think Goober's is closing up over here. That's the bar. But see, I shouldn't be going in there, just going in there and say, I'm going to go in here and sit down and drink a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or something. See, I shouldn't pick that kind of place to go in there and do that. You know why? Because it doesn't look good. Somebody see me going in there, they don't know that I'm going in there to drink a Coke. Besides that, I'm not going to pal around with these folks. Unless I'm going in there to get up on a table and preach, or I'm going in there to pass out tracts, that's okay. But if you're going in there for something else, the Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. Doesn't have to be wrong if it appears to be evil. If it looks bad and it's going to be bad for your testimony, don't do that. Don't do that, see. That's what the Bible says. The problem in America is this, that we yield to fleshly lust. It's promoted on television and other places 24/7. See, the television and all kinds of other outlets, I don't know whatever's else on the phone there, promotes skimpy clothes. Or no clothes. They promote premarital sex. I hate to talk about these things, but I have to. They promote living together without being married. They promote this kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with it, see. Amen. When I was a kid, I never even heard of such a thing. Never even heard of that. You probably didn't either. But see, now it's a common thing. You see, the world does that, then they have things like pregnancies, you see. And what's their answer? On one hand, they promote it over here, and on the other hand, they talk about, what are we going to do with all these pregnancies over here? Then what do they do? You know what their answer for it is? Well, you get an abortion. That's the answer. No, the answer is for people to be saved and live by the Bible. Amen. The answer is for a young man and a young woman to fall in love and to get married like these two right here are going to do. And get married and have children and raise them up. Raise them up for the Lord. You see, that's the answer. Amen. You see, but people think they know more than God does. See, they've got other ideas. They set aside the Bible as being unimportant. But the Bible has the answer. The Bible is the answer. Just live by the Bible. See? Amen. I know it's old-fashioned and all that kind of stuff, but that's the answer, see? Somebody said the answer is abstinence, And it works every time it's tried, you see. But they don't, oh no, we can't teach abstinence. Oh no, we couldn't do that, you know. They have different answers. See, anyway, that's how we are to behave on a personal level. Abstain from fleshly lust. Number two, how are we to behave as Christians on a social level? On a social level. Look at verse 13 to 20. I didn't say anything about verse 12. Let me read that. Verse number 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And when it says war against the soul, it's gonna bother you. You're a Christian, it's gonna bother you. It wars against the soul. And everybody look up here for just a second. People can have bad habits that can get them into bondage and will cause them trouble for the rest of their life. Don't do those kinds of things. They'll take you into bondage. Verse number 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of visitation is the second coming. In other words, here's what's going to happen. God is going to set everything straight at the second coming of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, I just don't understand all this evil in the world. Evil in the world is brought about by sin. It's brought about by sin, and God will take care of it at the second coming of Christ. But he's not going to wipe everything out and fix everything yet. But it'll be fixed, just not until he comes. Now, verse number 13 down through verse number 20 talks about how we are to behave on a social level. Look at verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. You know what that means? That means to obey the laws. Not just the ones we like, but it means obey all the laws. Obey all the laws. Unless the law says this. Unless the law says go out and kill your kids. You don't obey that. See? You don't have to obey those kinds of things. But if it doesn't hinder, it doesn't go against what God says, then we're supposed to obey the laws. You see? All of them. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't go over the speed limit. You see? Unless you want to contribute to the cause. You know, a policeman's retirement fund or something like that, see. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of the man of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You do those kinds of things because you're a servant of God, and you do those kinds of things because for your testimony, so that you'll have a good testimony, you see. And we are supposed to obey the laws. There are some laws that I don't like, but I'm going to do them anyway. I never did like to wear a seatbelt. I never did think they ought to be able to tell me that I have to wear a seatbelt. And it took me years to get used to wearing a seatbelt because I'm just used to jumping in a pickup out on the farm and just going all over the place and going to town. And I thought it felt funny to be strapped in with a seatbelt. But I finally got, and I don't know that I have ever been in a situation where I needed a seatbelt, you see. But I don't want to get a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt, so I'm going to buckle up. I don't like to get tickets. I've only gotten two in about the last 15 years. But about 10 years ago, I was driving a milk truck, and I was going down the Cockawatty Road. It was 4:20 in the morning. And I thought, nobody will be out here at this time of the morning. And the speed limit on the Cockawatty Road out there is 55, and that's unreasonable. Don't you think so? Don't you think that's unreasonable? You just go across into Texas, and it's 65. 70. Yeah, it's 70, see? Now, that's reasonable. But over here, it's 55. But I'm sure nobody would be out there at 4:20 in the morning. So I was driving along just a little over 60, I think it was, 62 or 63. And lo and behold, here comes this DOT, and passed me and whipped around and pulled me over and gave me a ticket. Not only did I get a ticket, but it was a woman cop. See, I got a double whammy. It was a woman cop that did it. I'm not against women cops here, y'all. I'm just joking with you. But you see, so I'm not gonna do that anymore. And out here, I got a ticket I've been running that stop sign for 55 years. And I got a ticket and had to pay $67 for running a stop sign. See, you don't want to do those things unless you want to contribute to the cause. Obey all the laws. And do it because you're a servant of God. And do it for your testimony, you see. I mean, just about the time you get a burr under your saddle and you go up to, this is off the subject a little bit, but you go up to a restaurant and you're grappy or something and you are unkind and growl at the waitress or something, like I have done, then you try to give them a track and see if they want that track. Or you see them at church, or your wife tries to get them to come to church or something like that, you see. God, He'll always get you back for those kinds of things, you see. I've been up to a Pat's Drive-In before, you know, and I didn't like the way they made my hamburger, you know. And I just grippy about it, and I can't remember now, but God got me back for that, you see. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that, see. Obey all the laws. Go on and look in verse number 17. Honor all men. Now, how are you going to do that? Man, that's hard, isn't it? Honor all men, or some men that you don't want to honor. Honor all men. He goes on to say, love the brotherhood. Well, now that's easy to do. Fear God, that's easy to do. Supposed to fear God. Christians. Fear God and honor the king. Now this right here, this portion of scripture that I'm reading for you was written in about 60 AD. That's over 2,000 years ago. The king at that time was a guy by the name of Nero, and he was killing thousands of Christians at that very time when this was written, and God put down in the Bible that you and I as Christians are supposed to honor the king. The Bible never says that we are to march in the street, demand our rights. The Bible never says we are to go out and whine and complain about the way the government is treating us. The Bible never says that we are to go out and rebel against. Jesus Christ was not a rebel. He worked and He obeyed the laws. The apostles were not rebels only. Only when the law contradicted what God said. They were put in jail and God got them out of jail. And then they went and preached. And they said we ought to obey God rather than men. You see, that's the only time that they disobeyed the laws is when it contradicted what God said in the Bible. In Daniel chapter number 6, they told Daniel, you can't pray to any other God except the king. For however how many days it was. Was it 30 days or something like that? You know what Daniel did? He disobeyed the law, went right on praying with his window open towards Jerusalem, bowed up on his knees 3 times a day. But that's the only time, see. When they say you can't pray, you go right on and pray. See. When you say you're supposed to kill your baby, you don't do that. See, when they say you're not supposed to preach, you're not supposed to read your Bible, you go right on and do what's right. But these kinds of things right here, we're supposed to do them. We're supposed to obey, honor the king. You see, I didn't care for some of the presidents we've had. The Bible says we're supposed to honor the king. See, pray for those who are in, in authority. Let's start in verse number 19. No, let's start in verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. When you go to work, according to the Bible, We're not supposed to give the boss a hard time. That's what the Bible says. Servants there, see. We are not only their servants, work for them, but servants of God. It has to do with your testimony. Now listen to what he says the rest of the way. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, all right, so you suffer wrongfully. God, oh, somebody said something to you. Somebody treated you wrong. Somebody treated me wrong. Oh, I'm just going to gripe and complain about it. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do that. Somebody treated you wrong. Somebody said something about you. Somebody talked about you. And we get all mad and grippy, you know, and everything. Let me ask you something. You think Jesus Christ did that? They spit in his face. They plucked out his beard. They drove nails in his hands. They accused him of being a fornication, being an illegitimate child is what that's talking about. His mother, you'd be born of fornication, the Bible says. And then you know what Jesus did about that? He went and died for them on the cross. Those very people that said those things about him, he went and bore their sins in his own body on the tree. You see. And our little old piddling problems, we gripe and complain about them. Somebody didn't treat us right. Look what it says. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. I don't really care. I don't really care for that. But you know what? It's in the Bible, and it's right. And we're supposed to do it, and I'm going to do it as best I can. Most of the time, I won't do it, and then I think about it after I've already, you know, got mad about something, you see. We're supposed to do that. If we're going to be like Jesus, that's what the Bible says we have to do. Amen. That is how we're supposed to do on a social level. Get along with people in this world. Look. Paul, the apostle, said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4 that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, he hadn't taken us out of here yet. He will one of these days. He's not going to fix all of our problems. I'm not saying he's not there to help. He is there to help. What he's going to do, he's going to give us grace to handle the things if we'll take it. Now, number 3, how are we supposed to behave in this world on a spiritual level? We're supposed to realize that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. Verse number 21, for even hereunto were ye called. You want to know what our calling is? That's it right there. He's going to tell us what our calling is. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, you see. Jesus took it all. He took it all without complaining. Our calling is to do that same thing. Verse number 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Even all these things that came against him, he did no sin. He always spoke the truth. He never led anybody astray. Verse number 23, who when he was reviled. You know, when he was on the cross, they reviled him. Even before he got on the cross, they reviled him. Reviled not again. He did not revile them again. Isn't that hard to do? Somebody say something against you and hard not to say something back. That's what he's talking about there. Reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And verse number 24, which is verse that I read or quote for you all the time, who his own self bare our sins. Those very same people that reviled him, he turned around and he bore their sins in his own body. Turn your Bibles, hold your place there, and turn back over to Romans. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 32. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. Romans 8, 32 says this. Speaking about God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God Almighty, spared not his own son. Back over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed, you see. And so that is our callings, to be like that. Verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Jesus, his only cause was to bear our sins in his sinless body on the tree. And so that is our calling, to be like him. Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment.